And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Bro Show. We just lost Austin, so he'll be back with us just momentarily. I wasn't sure if I was on this line or not, so here we go. We're going to have some fun today. It'll be one of those Friday day shows. By the way, we've got multiple countries now that are banning certain foods that are coming out of the United States, and I wanted to cover a few of these for you today. One of the biggest thing we have is the farm-raised salmon, which is incredibly unappetizing and kind of gray. So they basically fed a synthetic xanthine made from petrochemicals, which has not been approved for human consumption, which makes them basically turn pink. And what's even worse is when they do that, sometimes it doesn't make it pink enough, and they actually add pink dye to the fish after it's been processed and cleaned. So this is really an unbelievably bad product, and everybody needs to stay away from farm-raised salmon. Australia and New Zealand have both banned this mess. I remember one time I was at a Sheraton, and they had smoked salmon on the breakfast buffet, and it was on a white plate, and it was bleeding out pink dye all around the salmon. And I quickly asked them, I said, is this wild or is this farm-raised? And they said, this is, of course, farm-raised. And I said, what's this? They said, oh, it's the red dye they put in it to make it look like salmon. Otherwise, it's gray. So, guys, stay away from the farm-raised salmon. It's really, really contaminated with a lot of different compounds. In addition to that, it's just not natural for salmon to be raised like that. What do you think about the farm-raised salmon, Austin?
No, it's nasty stuff. Sorry about that. I had a little technical difficulty beginning the show. Glad you held that. But yeah, one of the biggest aspects about farm-raised salmon that a lot of people don't really think about is the fact that all these fish are basically congested in a very small pond with a large amount of fish, and they're essentially swimming around eating each other's waste and feces. That's really all they do. If you've been to fish farms before, you've seen this, and that's, they're completely compacted together. That's why they have to add dyes to them, because they're missing a lot of the nutrients and minerals, and especially with salmon, a lot of times I think they eat shrimp, if I'm not mistaken, in some cases, which helps with their skin color. Same thing with flamingos. So there's a lot of different aspects of what these fish eat and what they're exposed to, and different minerals and vitamins, and being able to live in an open environment that really increases the efficiency and the natural nutrients that are involved in salmon. So eating them farm-raised like that is really never a good idea at all.
I remember when I was in Chile a few years ago, and we were on a cruise ship, and they had a farm salmon place there in one of the ports we came into, and they had to do something because of the toxicity with the fish. They had to move the fish up closer to this giant waterfall that was coming down just to try to get some water circulation to stir the poop away from these fish. A lot of them get really, really messed up with parasites. Oh, also, we got to remember, too, if you live in the U.S. and drink Mountain Dew and some other citrus-flavored sports sodas and drinks, then you're going to get a dose of synthetic chemical called brominated vegetable oil, which, by the way, was originally patented by chemical companies as a fire retardant. I mean, it's banned in Europe and in Japan. Also, foods containing artificial food dyes and colors, over 3,000 chemical food additives in the United States and colors in the United States. Norway and Austria have banned this back years and years and years ago. Then, of course, we have our arsenic-laced chicken, which we feed to them to make them grow faster. Apparently, they liked using arsenic drugs with chicken to make them grow faster in the pen, but this also has been banned in the European Union. And then probably the worst offender here is bread with potassium bromate. This is bad because this is from bromine, which affects the thyroid gland. Almost all commercial bakers use potassium bromate in their food products, in their baking goods, cookies, everything. So, guys, stay away from this. If you see potassium bromate in anything you're eating, you really need to run away from it, because it can cause thyroid problems, central nervous system problems, kidney problems, gastrointestinal discomfort, and cancer. And, of course, one of the ones I used to talk about all the time, which is still being marketed globally, but it's pretty much been shut down in the United States, is Olestra and Olene. This is the fat that's not digestible by humans. It actually was included in my top 10 list of foods never to eat in my book, Maximum Health, Maximum Energy, that was released back in 1999. A huge book. It did close to 1 million copies. But Olestra, Olene, created by Procter & Gamble, is a calorie and cholesterol fat-free substitute used in fat-free snacks like chips and french fries. 3 years ago, Time Magazine named it as one of the worst 50 inventions ever. But that hasn't stopped companies from using it to satisfy people's mistaken belief that fat-free diet is a healthier diet. Not only did a 2011 study from Purdue University conclude rats fed potato chips with Olean gained weight, there have been several reports of adverse intestinal reactions to the fake fat, including diarrhea, rectal seepage, cramps, and leaky bowels. And because it interferes with the absorption of fat-soluble vitamins such as A, D, E, and K, VF requires these vitamins be added to any product made with Olean and Olestra. It is completely banned in the United Kingdom and Canada. Preservatives with pH, BHA, BHT, that's butylated hydroxyanisolone and butylated hydroxytoluene, are commonly used preservatives that can be found in breakfast cereal, mixes, chewing gum, butter spread, meat dehydrated, potatoes. This is some really toxic stuff. It's basically carcinogen. It may also trigger allergic reactions and hyperactivity, while BHT can cause organ system toxicity. It's also banned in the United Kingdom. Guys, this stuff is just unbelievably bad for all of us. We need to avoid it. And finally, milk laced with recombinant bovine growth hormone. Recombinant bovine growth hormone is the largest selling dairy animal drug in America. RBGH is a synthetic version of a natural bovine hormone, a hormone produced in the cow's pituitary glands. Monsanto developed the recombinant, there it is, Monsanto again, Austin, the recombinant version from genetically engineered E. coli bacteria and markers under the name Papazolac. It increases cows, makes cows increase milk production, but it's banned in at least 30 countries because it's dangerous to human health, which include colorectal cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer. Non-organic dairy farms frequently have bovine growth injected cows that suffer at least 16 different adverse health conditions, including very high rates of mastitis that contaminate milk with pus and antibiotics. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. I mean, I told you the story that happened back in 1977 when two Fox affiliate journalists on Channel 13 in Tampa did a show called The Investigators. Jane Ackery and Steve Wilson, they attempted to air a program exposing the truth about the dangers, but the lawyers from Monsanto, a major advertiser with the Florida Network, sent letters promising dire consequences if the story aired. Despite decades of evidence against the dangers of these drugs, still remains safe for human consumption, according to Food and Drug Administration. It's not safe. You need to avoid it. For those of you who don't remember that story, same thing happened to me with Kathy Fountain on that show when I talked about aspartame, which has also been linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, the diet soda stuff. And they told me they wanted me back on 6 months later, but I could not mention aspartame again. And I asked them why, and they said they'd been threatened by the advertisers. They were going to, Monsanto again, they were going to pull their advertising from the station if they allowed me to come back on talking about the toxicity of diet sodas causing brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, blindness, hearing degradation. The list goes on and on. Short-term memory loss, massive depression. One study, every primate tested on aspartame developed grand mal epileptic seizures. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, but guys, this is what they do. The money talks, and I guess all the rest of the stuff kind of goes down the road sideways because they're not allowed to tell the truth about what's happening. What do you think about this list? Anything else you want to add to it, Austin, besides vaccines?
it's pretty comprehensive on that. Yeah, I mean, as far as the vaccines, I had an article earlier, but I'll have to save it for Monday because I wasn't able to go over and vet everything on it. But one thing that goes back to abortions, completely kind of a side topic here, though. I have to vet this. I just got it before I went to the air. This was from the Center for Medical Progress. Today, they're stating, like I said, I don't have 100% confirmation on this yet. I'm going to look at it more over the weekend. But today, they came out and said the House Energy and Commerce Committee has a selective investigative panel that has just announced they have referred Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast in Texas for criminal prosecution to the Texas Attorney General on account of its illegal sale of baby body parts. The select panel is the only official, comprehensive, nationwide investigation of Planned Parenthood's harvesting and sale of aborted fetal organs, and their findings confirm the criminal activity of Planned Parenthood that CMP's video documented and show that the wrongdoing goes even deeper than anyone first expected. The panel has also criminally referred Planned Parenthood's closest business partners in the sale of aborted baby parts to various state and local law enforcement. So we will see now if the Texas Attorney General picks up on this and any other prosecutors in the state pick up on this. I really hope it gets some traction. If you guys don't remember, about a year and a half ago, this group, basically an undercover investigative journalist group, went on record with literally dozens of videos of top officials in Planned Parenthood that were on record, on tape, on video, stating about how they sell aborted body parts, how they make money off of them, what parts do you want, when do you want them, which is completely illegal. And now, remember, we found that basically there's nothing that happened. They just, everybody just looked, oh, nothing to see here. The media, everything completely bypassed it, didn't even do anything about it. Well, now these guys are basically referring all the evidence, all the information they have to the Texas Attorney General for the basically the Texas branch of Planned Parenthood. So I'm curious to see if this is going to get any traction. That I really hope it does. But with a lot of this stuff now, with as much money as they make and as much they like to do these sacrifices, we'll see whether or not this actually gains leadway and actually makes a difference, and these guys are prosecuted for what they've been doing.
Well, you know, the whole the information on Pizzagate keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sad part about all of this is the mainstream media is now just saying it's a vast right-wing conspiracy and none of this stuff is true, and we all know that it is true. And the problem is with Planned Parenthood. See, this should have been linked back to the satanic networks when they found that they were selling these body parts, because they use them for their rituals, and they use them, God, this is sick, they eat this stuff. You know, they eat these aborted fetuses. And, you know, it's just that these guys are just so weird and so perverted and so sick that, you know, it's hard to people like, see, here's the problem. When you have a normal life, right, and you pay your bills and you work and you have a car and you have a house and you got your kids and you're trying to raise them, you don't want to think about people out there eating people and doing cannibalistic activities. You don't want to be thinking about that stuff. I mean, nobody wants to think about that stuff. I mean, so it's so far away from normalcy bias that nobody wants to believe that can even happen, because it's so just extremely awful. And what ends up happening with all of this stuff is the more you dig into it, the more you realize that these guys are just a bunch of Luciferians. They've been taught this by their masters and what to do and how to eat these body parts of these babies and sacrifice these children. And the whole abortion thing is like a ritualistic magic thing in a lot of these clinics around the country, including what they do with Planned Parenthood now apparently selling all of these parts, because they're not asking where these body parts are going. You know, some people may say, well, it's going for research or it's going for stem cell development. They have no idea, Austin, what that stuff is being used for when it leaves there, because it could be going into a black market and being resold and resold and resold again and again. But I don't want to talk about this stuff over the weekend. This is just some nasty stuff. And it's just, we know that it's going on. We exposed it. The mainstream media exposed it. No, excuse me. The mainstream media never exposed it. They covered it up. The alternative media exposed it. And it's so funny. That was a Freudian slip, if you want to quote that sicko. Because what that was, as I'm saying, is the mainstream media exposed it, because I now see alternative media as mainstream media, Austin. Because more people listen to alternative media now than listen to the major networks. And that's why they're all running scared. That's why they couldn't allow Hillary to hack the election, because they were all terrified that all of that information about Pizzagate and Podesta and the soul cooking was going to make mainstream, and they're going to have basically their little day in court and all these guys are going to be outed. Oh, by the way, the German prosecutors are now investigating VW's chairman. German prosecutor. This is over this silly thing with the VW cars and the pollution stuff. Now, I'm talking criminally now. They're saying the executives manipulated the markets in the wake of the Dieselgate. Now we have a name for it. It's called Dieselgate scandal, that which have widened their investigation to include the chairman of the group's supervisory board, the auto giant, said Sunday. The proceedings refer to the period during which Chairman Hans Posch served as the direct chairman for the group's financial officer, VW said in a statement. The announcement is a fresh blow to VW's efforts to move on from the worst crisis in history, which erupted in September of last year after the group admitted to installing software in 11 million diesel engines worldwide that could dupe emissions tests to make the cars seem less polluting than they were. What they were doing is they were burning less amounts of fuel during idles, what it was. I mean, during warm-up. That's what this whole thing was about. That it was not even a big deal. It really wasn't. Prosecutors in the German city of Brunswick are already investigating the former CEO and another former board member for allegedly holding back information from investors in the days after the scandal erupted. By law, listed companies are required to disclose information that could affect market prices immediately. Volkswagen investors have so far filed 1,400 claims seeking a total of 8.2 billion euros in damages over the emissions cheating saga, This is unbelievable. The car maker said that it was standby Posch, who was VW finance chief for over a decade before he was named board chairman in a reshuffle shortly after the crisis broke. Based on careful reexamination of internal and external legal experts, the company reaffirms its belief that the Volkswagen's board of management duly fulfilled its disclosure obligation under German capital law markets. Now, also remember, Volkswagen owns Audi, and they also own Porsche, and they also own Bentley, and they also own Bugatti. More than a year since Dieselgate scandal rocked the industry, VW continues to be mired in legal and financial woes. The group last month won approval for a massive $14.7 billion settlement in the United States for nearly 500,000 owners of the polluting vehicles. Now, this is how this is written, of the polluting vehicles. Guys, this is what they call the clean green technology of diesel engines. They're so clean, they don't smoke, they don't do anything. These are super high efficiency engines that put out almost zero particulate matter, period. And now they're calling them the polluting engines is how they're spinning this. I want to make sure I read that to you guys because it's ridiculous. So far, VW has set aside 18 billion euros to pay for legal costs and the refits and buybacks. It's estimated to go much higher. And another potential headache for the group, Germany's Bild am Sonntag, which means picture on Sunday, newspaper reported that at the weekend that U.S. regulators had found evidence of another software malfunction manipulation scheme at the VW's luxury adversary subsidiary, Audi. So guess what? Audi's next. According to Bild, which did not cite its sources, certain Audi models with automatic transmissions were equipped with software that could detect when the cars were undergoing testing and lower their carbon dioxide emissions accordingly. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. Volkswagen developed, according to the research that I've read and has been reported widely on the internet, that the company had developed a gas manifold tubular system which was running water through the exhaust manifold, boiling it, creating steam, and increasing the fuel mileage using the steam to power the engine, basically a steam engine car being the engine's creating its own source of heat from the gasoline burning. It would get 150 miles per gallon. They did not want that because the petrochemical industry, James Willey discusses in detail in one of his videos, they did not want this because the petrochemical industry didn't want the fuel prices to go down even further because of a lack of demand. All of this stuff is based on big oil and their manipulation of the markets, and all of that is based on the Rothschild banking cartels' continued domination and manipulation of our planet. And I'm saying that very sincerely now, our planet, by not letting us have zero-point energy that Tesla had developed with his Wardenclyffe Tower all the way back in 1908, over 100 years ago. It's all about slavery and extracting as much money from the masses as they possibly can because they want to keep us in a serf-like position. That's what all of this is about. And sooner or later, what's going to happen is the stock prices will drop low enough and the Rothschilds will come in there with their corporate directorships and their investment banks, and they'll buy up Volkswagen and all of their subsidiary corporations, and they'll own everything. That's where this is going. Okay, that's where it's going to end up. And so that's what their plan is, because they don't want this technology released. And, of course, they want to continue to sanction these guys repeatedly like this, which is really crazy to me, Austin. This has been going on for over a year now, and it's still not over. In fact, I have a friend of mine. His name is Drew. He's a professor over at Southeastern University, and he has one of the diesel Volkswagens. He loves the car. He absolutely loves it. He said the thing gets like 50, 60 miles per gallon. He loves it. I think it's better than hybrids get. Now, think about this for a second. If you've got a car that's getting 60 miles per gallon, and some of the ones in Germany get 80 miles per gallon, okay? If you have a car that's getting 80 miles per gallon, so it's barely using any fuel at all, what is the possible content of emissions? What are they possibly putting out because they're burning such a little bit of gas? Would they rather dump all this pollution equipment on the car, get back down to 30 miles per gallon, get a third of the fuel mileage, burn three times as much fuel? It's got to be as high, or if not higher, plus the cost of recapturing and bringing the oil to market. And on top of everything else, which is so incredibly insane to me, is they spray us with this chemtrail crap all the time, which unbelievably pollutes the atmosphere, pollutes the soil, kills vegetation, kills us, dumbs us down with aluminum, destroys air quality, and they're worried about diesel emissions with Volkswagen. Are you kidding me? Guys, think through this. If they really cared about polluting the planet, they wouldn't be spraying hundreds and thousands and millions of tons of aluminum and barium sulfate and oxides on us every single year in the atmosphere. They wouldn't care. I mean, they wouldn't do stuff like that. The Earth would maintain its pristine nature. But no, that's not what they want. This is all about slavery, and tying us all up. Now also, I'm doing a bunch of research on CERN and the South Pole. CERN, the South Pole, what's going on with CERN, how it affects the South Pole. And I also listened to a bunch of research from a physicist and how CERN is changing the magnetic potential and magnetic field around our entire planet when they crank it up. And as soon as I get this stuff put together in my brain and what they're doing, I'm going to report all of that on this show. So it's going to be a really interesting show. It should be by next week. So what do you think about VW, Austin?
Well, we've discussed it in detail, and you're just completely spot on with what you just said with that. When you have the idea where you can run an engine at 70, 80 miles per gallon, you have to think about it. A lot of these small cars, they're only running, 10, 12, 15-gallon tanks. If you're talking about, 800 to maybe 1,500 miles on one tank, the demand for fuel consumption would literally go through the floor if people started buying these vehicles, which people would start buying these vehicles immediately if they started seeing these numbers. But you're absolutely right. The whole goal of all this stuff, when it's oil, the emissions, the EPA, everything, it all collaborates together to keep us into a slave state, slave mindset. That's why we've seen so many states now in this country that not allow you to go off the grid. They won't allow you. They won't allow you to have solar panels and live off the grid. They won't allow you to have alternative sources of energy and live off the grid, except in some of the really rural states like Alaska and Montana, where you essentially have to in some areas of the state. But that's why they're doing it. If they can keep you in these super low fuel mileage vehicles and low, 20 to 30 miles per gallon with the technology we have now, is extremely low.
That's right.
People brag about their Priuses getting 30, 40, 50 miles a gallon. That's an absolute joke, as Dad just said. They have the, we've seen them over in Europe. I've personally seen them over in Europe. I mean, we've seen four-door sedans over there. Full four-door big body sedans getting in the high 40 miles per gallon on diesel engines,
yeah,
with a lot of power, by the way. I'm not talking about vehicles that have 100 horsepower and 100, foot-pounds of torque. I'm talking 300, 400, 500 foot-pounds of torque and close to the same in horsepower. These vehicles are fast, and they still get 40, 50, 60 miles per gallon, even with the European emission controls on them. So that's exactly what they've done over here. They've done the exact same thing now to the diesel industry with the semi-truckers and also the one-ton trucks that tow. They mandated in 2008 that they all had to have DPF systems on the exhaust that regenerates the exhaust gas. And then in the earlier models, they were so brilliant with the EPA, they said, well, to keep it cleaner, it's going to collect the soot, then we're going to dump diesel back into the DPF to burn the soot off. That's when you saw the debacle when Ford first came out with theirs, and it was shooting flames out of the exhaust. That's how efficient that system was, being sarcastic, obviously. And we see now where people are taking these vehicles for off-road use or for farm use, and they literally take these brand-new engines without the emissions on them legally, and they're getting 27, 28, 20 miles per gallon in a literally 7, 8, 9, 10,000-pound one-ton truck, whereas stock on the road right now, they average 15, 16 miles per gallon. So like Dad said, how can you possibly explain to me taking something from 28 miles to get per gallon to 15 miles per gallon, but reducing the soot by a minimal amount does anything to reduce overall emissions in the atmosphere? It doesn't make any sense at all, and that's exactly what they're doing. That's why last night, if you guys listened to Trump, I was really proud of what he said. Now, again, we'll see exactly what he does in the next couple months, but he flat out called out the whole globalist agenda, completely called them out last night. He said, now is the time to embrace the one thing that truly unites us, and that is America. We hear a lot of talk about how we're becoming a globalized world, but the relationships that people value in this country are local. There is no global anthem. There's no global currency. There's no certificate of global citizenship. We pledge allegiance to one flag, and that's the American flag. And from now on, that's what it's going to be. America always first. Never anyone again will any other interest come before the interest of the American people. It's not going to happen again. Now, depending on whether or not he actually stands strong on a lot of this stuff, we'll see over the next couple months. But that is another aspect of it. sitting here and providing the American population. Do you understand what would happen to the economy right now if fuel dropped back down to $1 a gallon and we were able to buy vehicles that would get 70, 80, 90 miles per gallon on the road? You could literally commute back and forth through the whole state for months on end on a single tank of gas. You would literally explode the economy into growth immediately. In my opinion, that is one of the biggest single-handed issues that we've come face with is the amount of fuel consumption in the United States and the cost. Not all the reasons because of that, of course, but it's one of the big ones because I saw how crippling it was locally to our economy back in 2008 when diesel hit $5.15 a gallon down here in Central Florida. The diesel truckers, they just didn't drive anymore. They didn't take jobs. They would literally either break even or lose money to take small contracts. They couldn't drive anywhere. So it literally completely suppressed the market. So, Dad, yeah, there's definitely, now that we're seeing that they're trying to do criminal stuff with VW over there, there's definitely no question whatsoever anymore now that there is a giant conspiracy to bring down any type of fuel or vehicle manufacturers that reduce the fuel consumption. That should be clear to everybody now.
I remember years ago, I was doing an article, writing an article on this. I don't even know where I put it. Been years ago, and we were talking, this is back when George W., the blithering idiot, was in the White House, and I remember it was saying that every time the fuel prices went up a dollar a barrel, it took $5 billion of discretionary income out of the economy of the United States. Yep. Let me repeat that. Every dollar a barrel increase, if we went from $50 to $51 a barrel, $5 billion of discretionary income came out of the pockets of the American consumers because they were having to pay that much more for their fuel. And it went into the pockets of ExxonMobil, which is another globalist Rothschild-controlled corporation. So this is what's going on with this massive wanting to increase fuel prices. Right now, the Saudis and OPEC have cut their production by 1.5 million barrels, and they're trying to raise fuel prices right now, and they had a little bit of a spike. But the crazy thing about it is the United States doesn't need any of their fuel. With the extraction technologies that we have now and the coal that we have, we can run completely self-sustained. But here's why we don't do that. It's called the petrodollar. Petrodollar. That's why we're the world reserve currency, because all of the oil on the planet has to be purchased through the petrodollar. This is why they're after Volkswagen, because they don't want Volkswagen to decrease the demand for fuel, which would decrease the demand for petrodollars. That's what we're doing, and that's how we're maintaining the value of the currency on the planet. The Rothschilds know that. That's why every time you – and this is Henry Ford said this, but he said it a different way. I'm not going to quite quote him the way he said it, but I'm going to say it the way I'm going to say it. Every time you dig deep enough under a rock and you try to find the cause of something, you keep digging and digging and digging. It always goes back to these central bankers, to these Rothschild boys and their corporate directorships and their interlocking corporations and their international banks that they own, the Federal Reserves for, the central banks for all these different countries. It's always about the money for these guys, and if you dig deep enough and far enough, it always goes back to the money. Sadly, that's just the way it is. Trump, by the way, is meeting with an ex-bank CEO who wants to abolish the Federal Reserve. As President-elect Donald Trump's transition rolls on, more and more attention is being paid to possible selections for a variety of high-ranking positions and meetings that may help decide these appointments. On Monday, Trump will meet with John Allison, the former CEO of the Winston-Salem, North Carolina-based bank BB&T, and former CEO of the conservative think tank, the Cato Institute. While it is unclear what Allison is being considered for, there have been reports that he is being considered for the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Treasury Secretary, or a spot at the Federal Reserve Governor of Oversight. The last possible appointment is interesting given Trump's statements on the campaign trail have questioned the future of the Federal Reserve's political independence. Allison actually takes that rhetoric a step further. While running the Cato Institute, Allison wrote a paper in report in support of abolishing the Fed altogether. He says, quote, "I would get rid of the Federal Reserve because the volatility in the economy is primarily caused by the Fed," wrote Allison in a 2014 article for the Cato Journal, a publication of the Institute. Allison said in the article that simply allowing the market to regulate itself would be preferable to the Fed harming the stability of the financial system. Quote, he said again, "When the Fed is radically changing the money supply, distorting interest rates, and over-regulating the financial sector, it makes rational economic calculation difficult. Markets do form bubbles, but the Fed makes them much, much worse. Wow. So guys, if he actually does that, and he actually turns around and allows us to get rid of this, that would be absolutely amazing to me. What do you think, Austin?
Yes, yes, it absolutely would. And another aspect that needs to be addressed that I've brought up on the show repeatedly is the asset forfeiture laws. This is another story that just came out again from last year now, that now this kid basically had justice, a Charles Clark, a Cincinnati native who was basically going to the University of Cincinnati, who he lost $11,000 to federal agents at the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. They stole it from him. He is now getting all of his money back this month with a small amount of interest back and the settlement fees, his attorney fees. Basically, they took Clark's money after a ticket agent reported that his luggage had the smell of marijuana. A drug dog basically smelled his pack and alerted that he had marijuana, which I love how they always use the dog to say the dog alerted to marijuana. You can get the dog alerted to bacon if you want to. But they indicated that that marijuana was in his bag, so of course they searched him immediately. He's had $11,000 in cash, full-time student, never been arrested, no prior drug convictions, did not matter. They charged him. Listen, this is the best part about this. I'm being facetious. Clark was arrested and charged with resisting arrest and an assault on an LEO for not willingly allowing them to take his money. However, the charges have later been dropped. Clark, who said at the time he was headed back from Florida or headed back to Florida with cash to pay his college tuition, was never charged with any drug crime whatsoever. The two officers were working for the federal DEA task force at the airport, giving them federal power to take assets and cash if drug activity was expected. He basically filed a lawsuit, multiple lawsuits, the last year, and now he has won, and he's getting all of his money back as he was found to be involved with no drugs. He had no drugs on him. He had no prior conviction. He was not doing anything illegal. They simply said the dog alerted to marijuana, which then gave them the right to steal $11,000 from him on the spot and then arrest him when they said he assaulted an LEO officer, which when I looked it up on the thing, he basically bowed up on him and said, "You're not taking my money." And one of them grabbed his arm and he pulled his arm forward again and he said, "You're not taking my money." So they immediately tackled him, handcuffed him, and that was his big assault on an LEO and resisting arrest. Then they stole his money, booked him on those charges. Once he got out, he filed the lawsuit. But guys, this type of behavior, this totalitarian police state, this has to stop. I brought this up on so many shows, example after example after example of stuff like this happened. I am so glad that he basically took this to court and was able to get his money back. But the truth in general is, why did he even have to go to court? Why was his money even stolen from him in the first place? What type of country are we beginning to live in now where if somebody says your package, your backpack, smells like a natural plant that grows outside in the grass, they can seize all of your cash and arrest you whenever you don't let them steal your cash? This is bizarre to me because this is literally coming back down to that Nazi Germany complete totalitarian police state where you do what we tell you to do and you obey orders immediately or else we arrest you. We take what we want from you or we arrest you or we do both. You do everything we say when we say it and you'll like it. This whole aspect of this asset forfeiture needs to be completely abolished. There are no positive aspects about that whatsoever, in my opinion, Dad. I don't know if there's anything we can do locally, but I really would like to get this addressed as far as, I mean, even in this article here, but I even went in the back of it. They even said here, where's it at here? Since 2006, local and federal agents have seized more than $4.1 billion in money and assets since 2006. Just in 2015, the DEA seized more than $7.5 million in straight cash. As far as this stuff has to stop, that it really does.
Well, the whole thing is like this battery on an LEO, law enforcement officer. Now, guys, now some of you are listening to us are cops. I got that, okay? I'm okay with you being cops if you're listening to the show because you got to be a pretty cool cop. But here's the deal. If you go to grab somebody's money and they push your hand away, that's not battery on an LEO. It's not battery. You know, if you go to take their money away from them, and number one, you shouldn't be doing that, and they bust you upside the head between the eyes as hard as they can hit you, and then jump on top of you and start pounding on you, that's battery on an LEO. Okay? We've got to get this whole criminal charge stuff for battery on LEO calmed way back down. If you pat a police officer on the back and say, appreciate you guys being here today, they can charge you with battery on an LEO because you touched the police officer. Now, you guys think I'm kidding? Ask a cop. They can do anything they want. If you touch them, if you raise your hands, if you bow up, if they're trying to handcuff you and you've got a torn rotator cuff and you pull back on your shoulder because it's hurting, now that's resisting arrest, and they can charge you for resisting arrest. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. What they want you to do is to lay down on your back and pee on yourself. That's what they want. Lay down and pee on yourself and start crying. That's what they want. Now you think, well, it can't be that bad. With some cops, it's that bad. It really is that bad. They've got a terrible, terrible self-esteem. They probably got picked on in high school or in elementary school, and they go to be a police officer. They can exert the power and authority over other people and basically do what they want to do. They don't hire them in many cases if they have a high IQ when they take their exams because they don't want them questioning their orders that they're given. Guys, why is it that we hire some of the dumbest people in society, give them a badge and give them a gun and tell them to protect us? It's nonsense. And why is it that you can walk up to a kid who's done nothing wrong with no criminal record? Now, if they ran a background check on the guy and he'd been busted 50 times for pot or for trafficking drugs and whatever, whatever, take his money. Who cares? It doesn't make any difference if you want to do with the forfeiture. But when somebody has zero record, they've never done anything wrong in their entire life, and they're trying to pay their college tuition, are you kidding me? It's like when I got busted in L.A., LAX. And they swabbed my pocket, and I'd been carrying my Kimber 45, 1911, in my pocket, and apparently I hadn't cleaned it enough, and it tested positive for gunpowder residue. And they took me in the back room, and they basically were going to strip me naked. And I just started taking my clothes off, and they said, what are you doing? I said, well, if we're going to go naked, we might as well start with naked to be done with this. I'm not carrying anything. You guys already patted me down twice. What are you guys doing? It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And finally, they said the head of security for LAX, and he told me just to go ahead and leave because he knew I hadn't done anything. Because they'd already checked me three or four times. And I said, look, if you don't like the fact that my pants tested positive for gunpowder, bring my suitcase over here. I'll put a different pair of shorts on. You can keep my pants. I'm good. I got to catch a plane. Who cares? I've got nothing. I showed him my concealed weapons permit. I told him that I pocket carry. Doesn't matter. But now I will give these guys credit, though. They didn't grab me. They didn't handcuff me. They didn't slam me around. They didn't taser me. I guess because there were cameras everywhere, probably. A lot of people walking around. But the point was, you know, it was still detainment. It's like Austin says, you get into a situation that you start feeling like you're in Nazi Germany, and they walk up to you to say, Papiere bitte, which means papers, please. And you're like, what does that mean? Well, that means you better have some traveling papers and documents to tell us who you are, otherwise we're going to lock you up. And the Stasi in East Germany were even worse because they had learned it from the Nazis, and the Russians came in, and they made it much, much worse in East Germany. But guys, it's not supposed to be like this in the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's not what we're here for. We didn't sign up for this mess. We were blessed by God Almighty to be born in the United States of America, for the republic for which it stands. That's not how the republics treat their families and their friends and their citizens. I remember when Paul was beaten when he was in Jerusalem, and he asked them, and he said, I believe it may have been a different, it may not have been Jerusalem. It was one of the times when Paul got a beating of his life. And he goes, is this how you treat a Roman citizen, citizen of the republic? And they all got scared because they had beaten a Roman citizen. The magistrates did. And they wanted to kind of like let him leave very quickly and not cause a big brouhaha. Guys, listen to me for a second. I want our country's reputation restored. Having this gay Kenyan in the White House for the past 8 years with his fake children and his transvestite wife, according to Joan Rivers. This is ridiculous that this has even happened, that this is actually okay with anybody. I have liberal friends now that I know that aren't really quaint. They're not friends as far as coming over and hanging out with, but I know them and I talk to them, and they have now had enough because of Pizzagate of the entire liberal everything. They're done with all of it because they cannot believe these people have gotten this perverted. Guys, when you take God out of the equation in a country like the United States, the only reason that we work in this country with a limited amount of police and not having martial law and military police everywhere is that we believe in Yahweh and Yeshua, and that's how we were founded. We have a higher set of regulations and a higher set of laws that we're accountable to, that we answer to, because we know even if we do something wrong and nobody sees us, God is watching us and he knows what's going on. And so because we're raised in Christian households, most of us, at least my age, and Austin at his age, then we know that we have a higher level of accountability to obey the laws. That's why God gave the children of Israel the laws, because there was lawlessness those days, and nobody really had a set of values to go by. Therefore, everybody kind of did whatever they wanted to do with everybody else, and it was just kind of like, whatever. But guys, listen to me for a second. That's not what this country is for. We need to completely get rid of this forfeiture laws. If a person wants to have their stuff taken, let them be charged with a crime. Let them be charged with a crime and have the people have to go to court to prosecute these guys and have the state attorney bring charges against them. I got that, okay? If they've really done something illegally and they're transporting drugs or whatever across state lines or cash to buy drugs, I got it. But just taking your stuff, I'm going to take your stuff today because I like your stuff. I like the car. I like your suitcases. I like your stuff. So we're going to let you stand here on the side of the road while we take your stuff. And oh, by the way, have fun getting back to wherever you're going to, because we're not going to really bother to give you a ride while we take your stuff. We'll call you a taxi. Are you kidding me? No, that's how they treat people, Austin. And guys, that's no good. By the way, Germany is now banning cultivation of genetically modified crops under the European Union opt-out law, a full 100% ban. Germany's cabinet has just approved a draft law which bans the cultivation of genetically modified crops within the borders of Germany. As part of the directive passed by the European Parliament in April 2015, giving member states freedom to decide for themselves whether or not to cultivate GMOs in their territory, Germany will become one of a number of states to say no to GMOs. Other states who have bans in place or are working to establish the bans are including Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Austria, Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, part of Belgium, Greece, Hungary, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, the Netherlands, and Poland. Germany's GM ban is significant considering that the biotech industry representatives have been trying to keep their stranglehold on the genetically modified crop in Germany. The news will likely not be taken well by DuPont, Pioneer, and Dow Chemical. Listen to this, who have been waiting for the EU executive permit for GMO cultivation in Germany for over 15 years. Likewise, Monsanto, which will now be owned by Bayer in Germany, and in Austria and Switzerland, they're all in there in that area, have criticized other member states for using their opt-out vote to ban GMO from their country, stating their decisions contradict science. It was just over 6 years ago that another EU country, Hungary, strongly enforced their GM ban by destroying 1,000 acres of GM maize, that had been found growing illegally. The Hungarians were at the very first to take a forceful position in the European Union in relation to the use of transgenic seeds. Guys, this is very big, very good news, and it directly flies in the face of Monsanto and Bayer and all these biotech companies that are, a lot of them are housed in Europe, and it gives us a chance here in the United States to hopefully have Trump come in and get rid of that secondary, that second DARK Act that was just passed by Congress, and the incredibly lax labeling laws letting us know if foods contained genetically modified ingredients. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right on all that stuff. It's definitely something that needs to be addressed. We bring it up here on the show all the time. But people want, I mean, overwhelmingly the American population wants to know GMO foods. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to stop eating them, or they're simply going to not purchase something because it has GMOs in it, but they simply want to know what we're eating. We have that right. When you start genetically modifying foods like that and you allow those foods to then be sprayed by, you know, dicamba and atrazine and Roundup and all these different compounds that are used on food for human consumption, people want to know what's going in their body. And more people now are waking up to health and nutrition because they're realizing that you can't abuse and treat your body like a dumpster for 30, 40, 50, 60 years of your life and expect to have any type of long-term health and really any type of healthy life at all. In other news, too, this is interesting. I forgot to bring this up the other day. One of the aspects is back to firearms. You know, Donald Trump was talking about he wants to do a national concealed carry reciprocity, so all the states, there's no more nonsense. He also wants to completely change and get rid of the ending gun-free zones on military bases, which that's always boggled my mind. You're sitting there taking a soldier and, you know, in the Marine Corps and saying, well, you can't carry your personal weapon concealed on base to defend yourself or anybody else. All the weapons have to stay in the armory. But then as soon as you deploy, we're going to give you an M16 with a, you know, with a 40-millimeter grenade launcher and put you on top of an MRAP with a belt-fed 50 cal and let you just do work. But when you come home, you can't arm yourself on base. That whole concept to me is just egregious. But another aspect, too, is legalizing silencers. This is something that I've been very, very big advocate of for a long time, because under the 1934 NFA Act, all suppressors or silencers have to be essentially, they have to have a $200 tax stamp paid on them. You have to register them in your trust or put them in your name, and at that point you have to do fingerprints and photographs. After you buy it, then you have to wait anywhere from 4 to 6 months to get the suppressor released from ATF for your possession. I'm still waiting on one of mine back, supposed to be here next month. I was waiting on my tax stamp for it. It's ridiculous. And the thing about it is, guys, if you've never shot suppressors before, it's not like it is in the movies. Everybody thinks that you basically screw a can on the end of your pistol and you pull the trigger and it sounds like an airsoft gun or like a little pellet gun going off. Most suppressed weapons are still very audible. You can hear them from very long ways away, especially the high caliber rifles, because they break the sound barrier. They're not like they are in the movies, but one really, really nice aspect of shooting with a suppressor is being able to shoot without hearing protection. Some guns are still not hearing protection safe, even with a suppressor, but a lot of pistols and handguns that are usually under, you know, the sound barrier are really quite quiet. And it's very nice to shoot. It's much easier to train people and teach them because it's not as violent. It's not as loud. You can shoot basically in areas and indoor ranges if you want to without being so just unbelievably obnoxious. So these are a few things that he's already talked about doing. And his son has already gone on record with Silencer Co., the silencer company, and told them that he absolutely wants to release silencers off the NFA Act and basically make them just like buying any other firearm. You go in, show them your ID, fill out a background check. If you have a concealed weapon permit, you take it home the same day. And also, too, he's considering it. We're not sure if it's going to happen yet. We really got to start pushing for it once he gets in office, is repealing the Hughes Amendment, or basically, which is the USC 922, which bans all civilian ownership of machine guns that were made after 1986. So we're definitely going to have our work cut out for us in January, but I really hope he's going to be open to a lot of this stuff and he's going to do what he says he's going to do, Dad, because if he does, a lot of this stuff will essentially make this country unbelievably strong if he pulls off a lot of these restrictions off of us.
Well, I remember years ago I took you to a gun range in Las Vegas. We were going through there for a radio TV shoot, and I remember we stopped and they had a gun range where you could fire fully automatic weapons. And I remember we fired a Thompson submachine gun, and you know, in the target range. And I believe that was we rented one or two of them. I don't remember.
The MP5 as well.
Which one?
MP5, H&K.
Okay, MP5. Oh, that's right. And it was so much fun to shoot these because they were just a blast. They say, well, everybody doesn't need an automatic weapon. Okay, I got that. Okay, I understand that if you haven't been trained in firearm safety, or you're not a firearm guy or girl, you don't care for that, you don't want one, I'm okay with that. You don't have to own one. The Second Amendment says our right to bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. Now, we talked about suppressive fire and all the other things the other day on a show. And guys, listen to me. If the Chinese or some military force other than the United States decides to come in and attack the United States and we're trying to defend ourselves with revolvers that have to be reloaded after 6 shots like we're back in Tombstone, you know, Arizona in the 1800s, okay, it's not going to be much of a fight. It's not going to last very long as far as for the Patriots. We really need to have the right with all the ramblings and the rumblings of the Chinese. If the Chinese knew, like they have in Switzerland, every household and every man is required to keep a machine gun in his house, a military rifle in his house, and go through training every single year. Nobody messes with the Swiss because it's just not worth it. It's going to be a big bloodbath. And plus, if they're going to try to save assets, if after the war is over, where they put them in the Swiss banks anyhow, or they used to do that until the Swiss started letting the United States write their banking laws. I want to cover this before we run out of time today. This is really important. A study was done and released, major, the Frontiers of Public Health. And this is a giant journal that's excellent, and they wanted to look at what kids were doing who had been vaccinated and not vaccinated, and they republished a study of the children who had been, they used over 500 kids in the study, and it was a total of 415 mothers provided data on 666 children, of which 39% were unvaccinated. Listen to this. Vaccinated children were significantly less likely than the vaccinated children to have been diagnosed with chickenpox and pertussis. In other words, the unvaccinated kids had chickenpox, probably, you know, measles, but significantly more likely to have been diagnosed. Significantly more likely to have been diagnosed with pneumonia. This is the kids that have been vaccinated. Okay, I'm going to start this over again. I'm reading it too fast. A total of 415 mothers provided data on 666 children, in which 39% were unvaccinated. Vaccinated children, okay, were significantly less likely than the unvaccinated to have diagnosed with chickenpox and measles. Okay, they didn't have as much, but they had a much higher rate of pneumonia, ear infections, allergies, and defined as autistic spectrum disorder and ADD and learning disabilities. The further study concluded, in the study based on the mother's reports, the vaccinated had a higher rate of allergies than the non-vaccinated. I mean, this is unbelievable. This came out with this large of a study, and of course, after about a week and a half online, the paper was pulled, okay, because they couldn't allow this information to go out. But it showed specifically that these kids that had not been vaccinated were much, much, much less likely to develop autism. And they had, it was a 300% increase in autism and neurological damage rates with the children who had been vaccinated. 300%. Guys, listen to me for a second. We have told you this stuff and informed you of this stuff and shared this stuff with you guys for many years now. With Health Masters, we've been doing it, gosh, for 36 years. Here's the thing. We really understand this whole program of the vaccinations and reducing the world's population and causing infertility in all of these kids. That's what's going on. You know, you have to make a choice. If you're listening to this show or you're doing your own research, and if you have children or grandchildren, what you're going to tell your wife or your spouse or your grandkids or your children about vaccines. Letting them not do this letting them not be informed about this is not a good answer, okay? Let them make their own choices. Let them decide on what they want to do based on actual facts, not upon the promotion of these drugs and these shots by the folks that are making money on these products. Remember this, guys. These guys have complete immunity because of Reagan. They can do anything they want to you. And the Vaccine Compensation Fund for children that have been damaged has paid billions and billions of dollars out over the last 30 years, all these children that have been damaged by vaccines. That by itself tells you that these products are damaging children, or they would be paying out billions of dollars in settlements. Billions, not millions, not hundreds of thousands, billions. So guys, do yourself a favor, do your children a favor, and think through this, especially with your grandkids. And you say, well, my granddaughter, you know, she wants to do this, and she wants to go ahead and immunize her kids, and she's pregnant. Okay, great, I got that. Just give her some literature to read. Have her read Dr. Mendelsohn's book, Confession of a Medical Heretic, or How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of the Pediatrician. These were written 30 years ago, back in the dark ages, before we even had this huge rate of autism. He was already pointing all of this stuff out. Plus, there's a plethora of other articles that you can read. So, guys, do yourself a favor. Because think about this. You say, well, it's a hassle telling my kids this and having to get into an argument. What do you think having an autistic grandchild is going to be for you and for your family? I mean, 1 in 40 now in some studies have autism. They're going to say that 1 in 2 by 2025, and 100% of all boys by 2035, and 100% of all girls by 2037. I really hope that Donald Trump investigates this, and I really hope they put the liability back on these vaccine manufacturers, Austin. Yep. And you're going to see these guys running for the hills, especially if they have to release their own internal documents through the Freedom of Information Act on what they've done to the American children. These guys are worse than war criminals for what they've done with the experimentation on these children and these infants. It's absolutely horrific what they've done and what they've been allowed to do and what they've been allowed to get away with. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for being with us all the time and letting us know that you appreciate us and we appreciate you. you guys. I just want you to know that I love you guys, and I just want to thank you for supporting us and getting your multiple vitamins from us. And it's just been a blessing and has continued to be a blessing and will remain a blessing for a long time as far as I'm concerned to be here on the radio talking to you guys. So God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to go ahead and let Austin close. Thanks, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. We appreciate everything, guys. And one thing, too, that you know, Dad was just saying about the Vaccine Act, you know, think about it from this aspect. In 86, when they passed the Vaccine, you know, Manufacturer Protection Act, essentially is what it is, you know, it would be like giving the car industry carte blanche of everything, not having any type of liability whatsoever. So if they made defaulty brakes and bad airbags and seatbelts that broke and engines that blew up on you, there would literally be no liability. Do you understand what would happen to the market if they started, there was no regulations on them? They could sell something that the airbags didn't deploy and the brakes locked up and the motor exploded and you died and you couldn't sue them. You could not file a lawsuit against the manufacturer. That's exactly what they did with the vaccine, but even worse, because it's not even a statistical probability of this may happen in a vehicle at some time. You are knowingly injecting all these compounds directly into your body, and it's just a crapshoot, essentially, whether or not they're going to have an essentially very, very negative effect that you see or another underlying effect that you don't see till the future. Because remember, guys, our body was never meant to have thimerosal and mercury and formaldehyde and polysorbate 80 and all these other disgusting adjuvants injected into our body. It was never designed. So just think about that, guys, when people talk about getting vaccines, do the research, give them paperwork, inform them the best you can, and let them make their own decision. Because like Dad said, that's what it ultimately comes down to. They have to make their own decision, but we can do the best we can to give them the information to try and wake them up and let them realize that there's a lot of other stuff out there that we're being told about vaccines. But anyways, guys, you need anything, give us a call, email us, healthmasters.com. Magnesium and malates on product of the week, over 10% off. Check it out this weekend at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night and an amazing weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.